like they were a starter.
Now, back to Unabated Sports on Cincinnati's ESPN Radio, 1450, The Ticket.
Lots of NFL talk tonight as we are getting ready for training camp to open, but also lots of baseball talk as well, still in the middle of a pennant chase. And we're joined tonight by a very special guest, Cherie Trappier. Welcome to Unabated Sports. Hello?
Cherie, are you there?
Can you hear me?
There we go. Yeah, we got your mic turned up now. How are you, Cherie?
I'm very good, thank you.
All right, so we are going to talk to Babe Ruth right now, and pretty much I'm not an expert with this, but we just ask you the questions, and you'll be channeling the great Bambino and give us his answers.
Well, this is kind of new for me too, Mark, so we'll give it a go, and yes, go ahead and just ask whatever you want, and we'll play it by ear.
All right, well, the first thing I've got to ask Babe Ruth then is, do you think that you are the greatest sports figure of all time?
Oh, God. Well, that goes without question. This one, and actually I do relate here. I am going to be like a relator, so if there's any error here, it's on my interpretation of what's being given. But this one is a very strong, determined personality, and there is no other. This is someone that was, is, in my mind right now, somebody who claims his fame and would do so to the death, or even, I'll say, beyond the death. This one is one that knows of his power and capacity to be strong and determined and focused, and he holds that even now as we speak. So, yes, he is the greatest.
Well, then, I guess my next question for Babe Ruth would be, what are your thoughts on the game of baseball today?
What the impression is it's shallow. Now the term shallow, as I'm picking it up here, is because, again, this guy comes across with a sense of humor. He comes across with the sense of, I'm not in it, so it's got to be shallow. It's not the same game because I'm not in it. But it's not to say that the baseball sports arena is elevating. I get the impression he sees it as changing because it has to change. The name of the game has to change. So he understands that. He can see the reasons for it. But, again, he comes across, he's not there, so it's not the same game.
Well, I guess our next step here, Woody, I know you wanted to talk about this, is the curse of the Bambino. Obviously, the Red Sox, after they traded you, Babe, they ended up losing, or they didn't win a World Series until 2004. Yankees, on the other hand, won 26. Did you have any effect on this curse from beyond the grave?
Let me see. Let me ask on that. Let me get in here. Hold on just a minute.
Because this is something that's pretty big. I mean, the Red Sox were struggling for so long. I mean, I've got to think there are bigger forces at play.
There are bigger forces at play.
But is Babe responsible for them? That's what I want to know.
No, he's not responsible. But this is an issue of timing, because everything's come across as a cycle here. So this was a timing thing that has come into play for the Red Sox. Now, again, I don't know if your listeners understand that I am totally clueless about baseball myself, and so the interpretation here that I'm getting, that he's giving me, is there was a timing involved in what you're talking about, what has been the change that has come into effect for the Red Sox. Is that what you're referring to, the Red Sox?
Right.
Okay. So what has come about is a timing issue for the Red Sox. They have been long delayed. Oh, sorry about that.
No problem.
They have been long delayed, and there has been purpose and reason for the delay. And you know what? It comes up as a grounding issue. They have had grounding issues. Now, I don't know what that means in the long run here, but grounding issues have been a long determiner for the Red Sox, and that has been released and elevated into a new way for them to play.
What does that mean, grounding issue?
I don't know. They're grounding issues. You guys are the baseball people, not me. But what has happened is there's been a change in the game for the Red Sox. The time has been right for them to come to a forefront that they were not able to come up to because of not a curse, but because we don't believe in curses. But what that was a element of, God, Mark, all I can say is timing, and there was something also involved with the you know how people get in agreeing with things? They agree that this is a curse.
Right.
They agree that they're held down. They agree it every year. It's like brought up again. Well, it has been broken free. So that's all I can say about that.
Okay. Since Babe Ruth had nothing to do with this, did he take any joy, though, from seeing his longtime rival kind of suffer throughout the years?
No. There's no sense of satisfaction in that. This is a man that loved this game so completely and he is somebody that loved all levels of this game. So, no satisfaction in seeing someone lose. What his greatest joy is in watching this game and watching how it kind of filters out. Now, I don't know this of this man, but what I'm getting to is as I'm hearing him say, the children involved in this sport were the greatest joy to him, whether that be known or not. This was someone that felt he was a great role model for children in this sport, and that was a high end of his life, being involved with the children.
Yeah, Babe was a big worker on charity, but did you see yourself as a role model to younger people?
Absolutely, a big part of his life. The game was very important. He knew he was good at it. He had a great, huge ego involved in the game. But a large part of it was knowing that he had a way of influencing children throughout his life by being a role model, and he stepped into that with great pride.
Now, you used to sign autographs for hours on end. Do you think athletes sign enough autographs today?
No. He's not pleased with that aspect of it. He thinks it's far too commercial instead of being the hometown sort of feel. Much more, the word is commercialized.
Now, a big part of your career that everyone likes to talk about is the bellyache heard around the world. This was when you had some sort of case of illness, and everybody really got to the bottom of this. It was suspected that it was from alcoholism, but there was also a rumor of a possible STD. So was it an STD that kept you out of action in 1925?
He's laughing here because, no, it was not. In fact, it was something very, ridiculous is what I get. And it has to do, he's showing me a foot, his left foot, and it's something to do with the left foot is what I get. So I think there was an injury, physical injury to the foot, and it feels almost like a ridiculous, like toe injury or something in that area. I don't feel like there was STDs involved in this.
It was just
scenario.
A rumor.
Huh?
It was just a rumor that was going around during the time.
Now he's laughing, so I don't know. Again, this man comes across as having a great deal of humor in him. I have to ask you, though, Mark, what is 1952 relating to you and to this man? Because I was, before coming on and just kind of sitting quietly and kind of connecting, 1952, I don't know the years that he played, but 52 keeps coming to my mind. Was that a significant time for probably not you because you're too young, but was there a parent involved with an incident with him in 1952?
I don't know. We're going to have to look that up right now, actually. So
okay.
We will have somebody checking into that.
Okay.
Also, moving along, so while we have our guys in the back working on that, you were a big partier. Now, so how did Prohibition kind of affect your boozing? I know you still drank a lot during that, but did it limit it at all, or did you just not pay attention to it?
Okay, so what I see here is he puts it behind him, to the side and behind. Prohibition was something where you had to be, what he tells me is he had to be more discreet, and that's about it. So discretionary tendencies came into play more than anything else. And again, what comes to mind is his ideas for presenting himself for children. Again, very highlighted in this man. So it was put to the side, but it was not an issue that he took to heart. It was not something he held as he had to be prohibited from much at all. This was a very strong personality, high again in the ego mentality. And so people didn't tell him too much what he could and couldn't do is what I get from this. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that kind of fits him a lot.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, we found out that Babe Ruth's grandson was born in 1952.
Okay, very good.
Tom Stevens.
Very good. That fits.
Well, another instance that a lot of people like to talk about is when Babe Ruth called his shot, and there's been a lot of dispute over this. A lot of people think that he was just pointing at the pitcher. A lot of people think he was pointing to where he was going to hit a home run, that he just hit the next at bat. So were you, in fact, calling your shot when you hit that home run?
Let me just ask, because that question went way over my head. Let me just ask him, were you, in fact, just picking your spot?
Because this went back and forth. A lot of people think he was just pointing. Some people thought he was calling a shot because he hit a home run that went straight to that area.
You know, he called it. But what happens to him, and I think that anybody that deals in sports and plays in sports or involved in a professional manner like he was, they know that they almost get in an automatic. Now, he can pick a spot, but what I get the impression of is, as he's giving me this, is that he would go into such an automatic. It's not like he would say, okay, I'm going to go left field or right field. It was like it just came so natural for this man to just say it's going that way and that's where it would go. Very focused individual. But again, he goes into almost an automatic where he doesn't think, it just happens. And I think that's where a lot of his power and his influence would come from, is this automatic he can just slip into so easily.
Now we're talking with Babe Ruth, the Cherie Trappier, who is a psychic. Now, Babe, I've got to ask this question. Obviously, you were big on the sauce. You were big kind of a boozer. Did you, looking on the other side of things, though, I know a lot of people bring that up as a tarnishing, but, you know, performance enhancers are a big part of the game today. Steroids are a big issue in baseball. Did you ever use any performance-enhancing drugs?
No. That's a quick no. It wasn't required. Wasn't needed. Wasn't thought of. It wasn't. And wasn't even available is what I'm hearing.
Now, okay.
Yeah. Again, now I can hear you ask, you've asked several questions about the alcohol. This is not something he gives much merit to in his life, as he considers his whole life. Just so that you understand and whoever's listening understands, he doesn't look at his life as having been negative by that issue. So as you bring this up, it's very low in his mind. He'd rather talk, and not to change your questions here, but he wants to go into the influence of how great a player he was and a phenomenal presence.
Well, next on my mind was, you know, you didn't use any performance enhancers in your day, but Babe Ruth, if you play during today's era, would you feel pressured to use steroids to keep up with other players?
No, absolutely not. I get a feel from him on this that would take away from him being responsible for what was taking place. He wanted to know he was the one that made it happen. And alcohol did not enhance any form of being able to be on the job or on the spot or be involved in the sport. What you're referring to now for the current sports enthusiasts or those that are highly involved in sports that are turning to these enhancers, it's because they don't know how to access the kind of inner strength or the inner power that this man knew how to access. And so it's kind of a fallback, and it's he wouldn't have anything to do with it today if he were involved in the sport.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Cherie. We're coming up on a break, and I would also like to thank Babe Ruth for spending some time with us, and, you know, we wish him the best from beyond the grave. I don't really know how to sign that one off.
Yeah, okay, it's accepted. Thank you very much, Mark. We appreciate it.
And thank you very much. That was Cherie Trappier, who brought us Babe Ruth, and stay tuned. More Unabated Sports coming up on Cincinnati's ESPN Radio, 1450, The Ticket.
Get in on the fun. Check out our blog. Log on to unabatedsports.com. Now, back to Unabated Sports on Cincinnati's ESPN Radio, 1450, The Ticket.
And perhaps one of the most unique interviews ever done on radio. Mark just got done interviewing Cherie Trappier, who brought us Babe Ruth.
Yeah, Babe Ruth, the king of all sports figures, the best legend in sports history. Had a lot of interesting things to say, but
very interesting.
It was a good interview.
It was very good. I mean, basically, I just sat back, wrote down all these little things that she was saying. First off, the fact that Babe did, in fact, confirm he called that home run. He called it, quote, it was automatic.
Yeah, it's impressive because there was a lot of dispute there. Nice to put that one to bed, finally.
Yeah, and it was another thing I kind of found it interesting that he considered the game shallow.
Makes sense.
Meaning it's not as big without him. It's kind of like not as significant without the Bambino.
Right. I mean, you know, there are a lot of people that would argue. I find this all the time. You know, my grandpa's going to be like, oh, the game was way back better, you know, when I was younger. So a guy like Babe Ruth, of course he's going to think it's better when he played.
Well, I don't know if it's so much when he played, but the fact that, well, he's not playing now. I mean, it's like, it doesn't matter if everyone else was still playing, but the fact that he's not there now, I think that's what I got out of that
part. I like the autograph things, how he said that he thought people didn't sign enough today, it was too commercialized, which is all true.
Yeah, and another thing, apparently not responsible for the curse, considered it quote-unquote timing, or I don't know, like basically she kind of said that it was like basically once you're down, you agree to be down, and that's why the way the Red Sox were, and she used the term grounding issues, which basically in my mind goes back to 1986 with Bill Buckner.
Yeah, that's true, grounding issues. Hey, that is kind of funny how that grounder went right through his legs. I think that may be a little of a stretch in my book. But the fact of the matter is, you know, he didn't do anything to hurt the Red Sox. You know, he didn't take any particular joy in
it. That was something that was not only is he not responsible for the curse, but he wasn't taking joy out of the fact that the Red Sox were not winners without him. You know, and obviously, if he did put the curse down, then apparently he would have been asleep at the wheel in 2004.
Right. And, I've got a whole litany of questions I'm going to ask him. I'm going to talk to her again tomorrow, and we will get Babe Ruth again. And I'll probably be spending that a column for ESPN.com. So, of course, I'll pimp that like crazy once it finally comes out. But keep an eye on out for that next week.
Yeah, because we only had 10 to 15 minutes with her. And it's almost
like Babe Ruth. You know, I could go all show with Babe Ruth.
Exactly. Considers the game far too commercial nowadays. And steroids, when that was brought up, kind of interesting. He kind of immediately dismissed it, said it wasn't needed. And the fact is, he called it that the fact that the players needed that nowadays, it's basically they needed to access their inner power. And that's kind of what he did to make himself so great, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, it made sense that he was trying to downplay the whole drinking thing. He never saw it as that big, and I'm sure most people that era didn't see it as that big. You know, he was a partier. It's not like he was a chronic alcoholic, although he was pretty much a big binge drinker. But everyone wants to see themselves in a positive light.
And he certainly did. This is Unabated Sports on Cincinnati's ESPN Radio, 1450 The Ticket. You can give us a call at 868-9664. Ask us about the Babe Ruth interview. Tell us what you thought. I mean, this is the first time I've heard of this on radio. So if you want to take part in that and let us know what you thought of it and whether or not you believe that she did, in fact, get in touch with Babe Ruth.
For somebody that didn't know much about baseball, though, it seemed like a lot of her answers were on key.
Yeah, and it's something that, I mean, we kind of asked a lot of weird things, and she didn't just basically come out. It was almost like an episode of Lost, where you kind of have to watch the episode and kind of decipher the clues afterwards, and the way she put things were certain vague kind of language. You kind of had to, you know, like the grounding issues.
Well, yeah, that was kind of vague, but I was referring more to, like, the laughing part and how he saw himself so big, things like that. You know, it rings true. I wonder if Babe Ruth, though, you know, he's denying all these alcohol problems and that it was really an issue. You know, he sounds like the guy that everyone's got that one friend that's just a complete boozer. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not an alcoholic. And until that one day when you have that intervention, you finally get him to open up. Maybe Babe just didn't have good enough friends to, get him to admit his problems.
Absolutely. Just because he's no longer with us doesn't mean that he's now going to shed some of those earthly hiding things that he used to do. Like you said, during Prohibition, he used to hide his drinking.
It goes with.